Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 143. Let's cook shakshuka. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, having more fun, learning new things. You know, everything all of us home cooks ever want to do, right? Feed good food to our family and friends, all that stuff. Well, today I am back with another live cooking episode, which I call Let's Cook. And today we're making shakshuka. I'll get into that in just a second, but I want to remind everybody that if you ever want to get in touch with me, you can send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. If you have a comment or question or a show episode topic idea, I'd love to hear from you. You can also find me over at Twitter at TKC Podcast, or we have a nice little Facebook community going over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. That'll take you over to our Facebook page. Now, today I am cooking for you shakshuka. Now, if you haven't listened to a Let's Cook episode before, here's a real quick rundown of what this is all about. I actually cook from beginning to end, unedited, a complete dish. And of course, I narrate as I go because it's an audio podcast, so you can't really see what I'm doing. You can usually hear what I'm doing, but I kind of walk through the steps that I do to make this particular dish. And by the end of the episode, it's done and it's ready to eat. And the theory being that you could even take this episode and listen to it and cook it along with me. And you probably too would end up with a similar dish at the end. But otherwise, I would recommend just heading over to the show notes over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/143. And there you will find the recipe that I used for this particular episode where I make shakshuka. So once again, that's kitchencounterpodcast.com/143 for the show notes and today's recipe. All right, in a second, I'm going to turn it over to the other past Roger, who's already done all this work, to walk you through the cooking of shakshuka. By the way, if you have ideas for future Let's Cook live cooking episodes, please let me know. I'm always looking for interesting dishes that are about 20 to 30 minutes to make. And so whatever you think I should make that would make for interesting audio, if you have ideas, send me an email. All right, everybody, I'm going to toss it over to the kitchen where you will hear me run with cooking shakshuka for you today. Here we go. Hey, everybody, welcome to the kitchen. This is Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. As you heard from the intro from future Roger, you already know that we are making shakshuka today on this Let's Cook episode. So I'm excited that you're here. I'm actually just finishing up a little bit of prep work, slicing up some onion really thinly here. And then this is going to be one of the first ingredients that goes into the skillet. Scoop that up, drop it into the prep bowl with the rest of my onion. I've pretty much prepped everything else because, you know, this is a Let's Cook episode, not a Let's Prep episode. So I didn't want you to have to sit and listen to me slice and dice all this stuff up. That's no fun. I would rather get right into the cooking. So what is shakshuka exactly? Well, it's one of my favorite tomato-based dishes, and it's of, some would say, Northern African, some might say Middle Eastern origin, somewhere in that general region. But essentially what it is it's a quick-cooked stew of tomatoes and peppers into which, and spices, into which some eggs are put in and poached. And then you serve it with pita or naan or crusty bread or over rice or however you want to eat it. But that's essentially what shakshuka is. And I love it because it's very versatile. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I know a lot of you are very interested in learning how to improvise and take recipes and do different interesting things with them. Shakshuka is an absolute perfect place to start on an adventure like that, because you can do so many different things spice-wise and ingredients-wise in serving with shakshuka. So before we get into that, though, future Roger will have told you where the show notes are and the recipe for this is, but let me just go over my prep list, my mise en place, which is everything I have prepped and set out in place so I don't have to fidget around with things as I'm cooking, and then we'll hop right into it. So first things first, I have one medium to large onion thinly sliced. I've got one red bell pepper, which I have roughly chopped into small pieces. I've got one jalapeno pepper, which I have seeded and roughly chopped into small pieces. I've got three cloves of garlic, again, roughly chopped. And then I've got, I would say, probably just a little over 2 pounds of fresh, roughly chopped up tomatoes. Medium-sized tomatoes is probably 6 to 8, somewhere in that general vicinity on number of tomatoes. I'll talk more about the tomatoes as we're cooking. I've got some fresh parsley that I've prepped here that I'm going to add in. And then for spices, no two shakshukas are the same, and I've taken a little liberty with mine today, but what I'm working with spice-wise, besides salt and fresh ground pepper, black pepper, is I've got about a tablespoon of smoked paprika. I've got about a teaspoon of ground cumin, and I've got about a teaspoon of berberry, which is an Ethiopian spice blend. Then, very important, I have off to the side here, I have some fresh eggs that we'll be adding into the dish towards the end. And then I have picked up a hunk of crusty sourdough bread, which I'm going to serve with the shakshuka when we get going. As far as equipment, I've got a stainless steel skillet here, about a 10-inch skillet with a lid. Of course, spatulas and spoons and things like that. And then an optional piece here, which I'm going to use for my bread, is I've got a cast iron grill pan, you know, a pan with the raised grill marks. I'm actually going to put the bread in there to char up a little bit when I go to serve this shakshuka when we're done. All right, so I have had my stainless steel skillet here preheating, so I'm going to add a little bit of olive oil to it. And then we're going to get cooking on this thing because, as you know, or maybe you don't, if this is your very first Let's Cook episode, I'm going to cook this thing from beginning to end. And when this episode is over, we'll have completed this dish, and you'll have a recipe that you can go off and try yourself and tweak and play with as well. So I'm going to go ahead and add the onions thinly sliced right into my skillet. You can probably hear them hit. Spread them out in there. It looks like a lot of onions. It's going to cook down quite a bit. I've sliced these very thin, so they'll cook down quite a lot. And I want the heat somewhat high because I want to get just a little bit of color on these onions and peppers. Bell pepper, which is going in next. So I'm turning up my burner just a little bit even, because when you add food into your skillet, it's going to cool it down, and I want to keep a pretty good temperature. And now I'm putting in the jalapeno peppers. Now, I've talked before on episodes about building flavor, and there's something to be said for starting with this sort of a mixture of the onions and the peppers before putting the tomatoes in, because the tomatoes are full of liquid. And if I were to add those in now with the onions and peppers, it's not going to give the onions and peppers a chance to get really hot and get some color to them. They'll just end up basically steaming and simmering in the liquid that the tomatoes put off, and that's not going to get us the kind of flavor that we're looking for. So I've got the onions and the peppers in now. I'm actually going to hit them with just a little bit of salt to help draw some of that moisture out of them. They're cooking, and I've got the temperature up to on the high side of medium high. We're going to let those cook a little bit. You want your onions and your peppers to be softened, but you do want to see some color on them. So this is probably going to take us, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes maybe to see that. So I'm just going to stir them to get the oil mixed around in there, and then I'm not going to pester them too much for a couple of minutes because I just want them to take on some color from the heat of that pan. Now, let's talk about the peppers quickly. Now, onion is something I probably wouldn't omit It's going to give a lot of flavor and body to this dish. But let's talk about the peppers a little bit and what kind of peppers you can use as this is simmering and, excuse me, as this is sautéing and cooking up a little bit. Really, any type of pepper you want to use is fair game. You know, we're not going for a strict traditional shakshuka, if there even is such a thing. So feel free to use what's available to you, what's fresh to you, what's comfortable for you. And of course, think of spice level as well. So I'm throwing in a little bit of jalapeno because I want a little bit of spice in my mixture. But you certainly wouldn't need to do that. You could just put a little more bell pepper or something like an Anaheim pepper in if you want just a little bit of heat and something different going on in there. So feel free to use, you know, whatever kind of peppers you're comfortable with. If you really want to go nuts, you can dice up a habanero and throw it in there, I guess. I didn't want to go too crazy because I am putting in, I mentioned a minute ago, the Burberry spice, which does have a little bit of heat to it. So it's always easy to add heat to a dish, right? It's not so easy to take heat out of a dish. I'm just giving my base here a quick stir. There's a little bit of golden coming along here. I'm going to put the garlic in for maybe 30 seconds or so before I put the tomatoes in, just to give it a chance to cook up a little bit. But I don't want it in for too long because I don't want to burn it or anything like that. Once you get too much color on your garlic, it can get a little funky. Give those veggies just another minute to cook. I guess we can talk about the tomatoes while we're waiting on the garlic to go in. So it's tomato season now, of course. I've got some nice, fresh, ripe tomatoes. If you can, I would try to err on the side of more ripe than less ripe, because you want these to kind of cook down and lose a little bit of their firmness and shape. So if they're a little overripe, that's the perfect type of tomato. I just went ahead and took the core out and then roughly chopped these into, you know, quarters and quarters. I didn't seed them or peel them or anything like that. Now, these are fresh tomatoes, and you know, fresh tomatoes, of course, aren't really at their peak all year round, regardless of where you live. And I'm a huge fan of canned tomatoes, and more often than not, 90% of the time, if I'm making a dish like this, I'm actually using canned tomatoes. And there's nothing wrong with canned tomatoes. In fact, in many ways, canned tomatoes are superior to fresh tomatoes in dishes like this, because they're going to be more consistently ripe and flavorful. They're easier to work with. And of course, they're available all year round, right? It can be in the middle of December, and then you can go to the store and get a nice can of whole peeled tomatoes or diced tomatoes or crushed tomatoes or whatever, and they're going to be pretty decent quality. Well, sometimes, you know, fresh tomatoes can be hit or miss, but today got some fresh, just regular red tomatoes. Okay, I've got a little bit of color developing on the onions and veggies now. If I had a lot of time and I was very patient, I would probably let these cook for a few more minutes. But for the sake of the show and keeping things moving, I'm going to go ahead, I think, and get the tomatoes in there now. Or excuse me, the garlic. I got to do the garlic. So I'm going to make a little spot in the middle of the pan where I move the onions and the peppers away, and I'm just going to drop the garlic in there. So I give the garlic. Oh, I love the smell of garlic when it hits a hot oiled pan. Oh my gosh. Few aromas like that in the world. So good. Go ahead and mix the garlic into the rest of my mixture and let that have a minute. Okay, now we're on to the base, the bulky base of this dish, which is the tomatoes. So I'm going to go ahead and put those right in. Again, I'm keeping the heat on my pan fairly high. Let my tomatoes get in there. I'm not going to add any liquid to this pan. because these tomatoes are going to give off quite a bit of liquid themselves. And after they cook for just a few minutes, I think what I'm going to do is I learned this trick from Kenji Lopez Alt over on the Serious Eats blog. And he uses a tool for this that I actually like to use to make guacamole, and that's a pastry blender. If you don't know what a pastry blender looks like, you might have one in your drawer. It's kind of this half square, half curved device. It looks like something from an ancient martial art weapon rack. It's got a handle, and you kind of hold it almost like you're holding brass knuckles or something, and it's got these curved blades on the other side. And the idea is you can press this down into like your dough that you're making, for example, to mix your butter or your fats into the flour, et cetera, et cetera. But this works great for mixing up other things. I love to use it for guacamole. It does a great job. It does the avocados in a way where they're nice and mixed and mashed, but they're still a little bit chunky. It's not like they're blended and kind of, I don't like the guacamole. It's kind of like almost like a puree. This does a great job. But we're going to do this on the tomatoes because I don't want these big chunks of tomatoes necessarily in there as is. I want them a little bit chunky. I don't want them pureed. Like I don't want to use like a can of tomato sauce. I want a little bit of the tomato integrity in there. So as those cook for just a couple of minutes, I'm going to get in there with this pastry blender and work them over a little bit here. That'll also help get out some of the liquid. So I'm just going through and crushing up, slicing up. These pastry blenders, they have sharp blades. I mean, they're not like knife blades, but they'll go through a tomato, no problem. So I'm crushing this up. If you wanted to, and you wanted to get a little bit of a finer texture, you could use something like an immersion blender, because with an immersion blender you can be pretty precise. You can blend up a lot of this stuff, but you can leave chunks in it as well. I could have done that, I suppose, but I doubt you wanted to hear the whine of an immersion blender in the microphone, so we're going to do it the old-fashioned elbow grease way here. If you don't have a pastry blender, you can just try to work it over with your spoon. You know, in a stainless steel pan, you can use a metal spoon without worrying about damaging the pan at all. Okay, so crush these up pretty good. Let's talk about the pan too for a second, because I know some of you would probably ask why I'm not using a cast iron skillet to make these, and you can. You'll hear a lot of times that you shouldn't cook acidic foods in cast iron. This is certainly an acidic food. There's a lot of tomato in here. But if you have a good, well-seasoned cast iron, you don't have to worry about it a whole heck of a lot. This is a dish that you could certainly make in a cast iron skillet. And it's not like we're cooking in it for hours. This is not like a 5-hour slowly simmering sauce. If that were the case, I would probably say maybe cast iron isn't the best way to go, but we're only going to be in here for basically less than 30 minutes. So now I've got my tomatoes in a somewhat of a consistency that I like. I'm going to go ahead and add my spices. I'm going to do another decent pinch of salt here. Put in several turns of fresh ground black pepper. I love the smell of that. I love, there's something about cranking a pepper mill. Oh, it's like a sensory pleasure to me. I just love doing that. If you need, if you ever need to make a lot of fresh ground black pepper, I would probably, if that's something you use a lot and you're using like tablespoon quantities, you probably want to invest in a grinder, a spice grinder or a coffee grinder that you just dedicate to your spices. That you can throw whole peppercorns into, that's going to save you a lot of time and heartache. It takes a heck of a long time in the grand scheme of things to use a pepper mill to grind out a tablespoon of black pepper. I'm going to throw my other spices that I've already had measured out. Now again, to refresh, this is a tablespoon of smoked paprika. It is a teaspoon of ground cumin. And it is about a teaspoon of Burberry spice, which is going to give it a nice, almost a curry powder blend with chili powder in there. It's going to give it a little bit of a bite, but the aroma is pretty fantastic. The other thing I love about this dish, I don't think I mentioned this at the beginning, other than just saying it's a versatile, adaptable dish, is, you know, we're making a Northern African, Eastern African, Mediterranean, Middle Eastern, somewhere in that broad geographical area we're kind of shooting for, right, with this dish. But this idea of simmering sort of a tomato stew and cooking eggs in it is not isolated just to that region. If you head a little farther north, you're probably possibly familiar with a dish called Eggs in Purgatory, which is an Italian dish. Very similar, where you're cooking sort of a tomato stew and then poaching your eggs in it at the end. So my point I'm just trying to get at is you can adapt this to really kind of whatever flavor profile you want. You know, we're using cumin and paprika and Burberry. You know, if you wanted to make this more Italian, you could certainly, maybe more basil and oregano. You could even make like a caprese version of this, where you cook your tomato stew. You probably leave out the spicy peppers and the pungent spices. And, you know, maybe it's basil and you put some slices, discs of fresh mozzarella on top and then drizzle it with some balsamic vinegar and serve that on some crostinis. Dang, that would be pretty good. Or you could go Southwestern, you know, more cumin and chili powder and maybe some serrano chilies in there. That would be, maybe some tomatillos even. That would be pretty good. So you can go a lot of different directions with this. You don't have to think, well, it's an African Middle Eastern dish, so I've got to stick to those spices. That's not the case at all. You can get very creative based on what you like. And this is another one of those dishes, too, where you can wing it and experiment a little bit, and it's fairly forgiving. You know, as long as you don't go too nuts and put, you know, five or six habaneros in there and a bunch of weird spices, and if you taste as you go, especially if you're not used to cooking like this, it's pretty hard to screw it up. Just remember, in general, it's always easy to add spice in. This goes for salt as well. It's always easy to add it in, but it's super hard to take it out. So you should always add it incrementally, taste as you go, test, and then make sure it's not gone overboard. And also, you know, with really spicy foods, the spice tends to intensify over time. So if this is something you're going to save, you're going to put in the fridge and eat the next day. If it was spicy today, it'll probably be really spicy tomorrow. So you just have to sort of keep that in mind. So I've got a really rapid simmer going on here. I'm going to turn it down just a skosh to more in the medium range. Everything's cooking down quite nicely. I can see that my fresh tomatoes are sort of taking on that cooked tomato color. You know, fresh tomatoes, they have that kind of pinkish red. They just look raw. You can tell, right? You can tell an uncooked tomato unless you're lucky enough to get that just ruby blood red ripe tomato. That color usually doesn't come until you're cooking it. And we're getting there. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and taste this real quick. Practice what I preach. It's good. It needs a little more salt. All the other spices are very pronounced. It's got quite a little kick to it. But it's just missing that definition of flavor. You know, it's a little bit muddled, so I think some salt will do wonders for that. So I don't know how long I've been cooking here. I didn't keep track of when I started. I'm guessing about 20 minutes. And that's what's great about this dish is it's only like a 30-minute dish once you get everything prepped. And prep doesn't even take that long. You know, I kept saying everything was roughly chopped or roughly diced. This is a dish where it doesn't have to be perfect. You know, you don't have to take your time and precision dice an onion or the peppers. It's all cooking down into one big, beautiful dish. So, as long as anything, you know, the harder vegetables like the peppers aren't huge chunks, everything's going to cook down in time just fine. Okay. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That little extra salt, and I'm going to just do a little more black pepper. Even though the spice level is there, I just like the flavor of the black pepper. Okay. Okay, I'm going to let that simmer for just another minute. Now, the thing that makes a shakshuka, as opposed to just a freaking amazingly delicious skillet full of simmering tomato stew, are the eggs. Now, some recipes you'll find or you'll see online or on cooking shows is they will put the eggs into the skillet, which is we're going to do that as well, but they'll actually pop the skillet into an oven, and they'll let the eggs finish in a hot oven as opposed to on the stovetop. I'm not going to do that. I don't prefer doing it that way because I feel like the constant heat in the oven as opposed to just the hot simmering liquid, I feel like it overcooks the eggs a little bit. I like to have my egg yolks, just a skosh runny if I can in this dish. And I find I can get better results if I just leave it on the stovetop and poach it in the liquid. Once we add the eggs, it's only going to take about 4 minutes or so, probably, to poach those little devils. And I might put the lid on for a little bit just to give it a chance to set those whites a little bit faster. Can you hear it's simmering really good. It's a real quick simmer, which is great. Because it has eggs, this is often like considered a good breakfast dish, and it is, but this is a great brunch, lunch, dinner dish. It's a great hangover dish. Not that any of us would know anything about that, I'm sure. Okay. I've got a little glass measuring bowl here, a little prep bowl, which I'm going to go ahead and crack my egg into before I place it into the simmering liquid. I do that primarily for control. It's just easier to be able to lay the egg in the exact spot you want it in your dish when you're pouring it from a little bowl rather than cracking it and letting the egg just kind of bloop out of the shell, hopefully in the spot you want it. Now, I'm going to do 4 eggs, I think, on this dish. You can do 5 or 6. It just depends on how many people you're feeding who want an egg. Actually going to go grab a kind of a serving spoon, and I'm going to use it to make little indentations. Oh, wait, you know what I didn't do yet? I just saw it sitting there, and I haven't put it in yet. I'm going to put in my chopped parsley. This is probably about a half a cup. I'm going to mix that in. Wow, that fresh herb smell, that's great. You can use cilantro if that's your jam. I'm not a big cilantro guy. I'm not one of those people that can't stand it, but a real little bit goes a real long way for me. Okay, now we're ready. Let that come back up after I stir it to a simmer. Now I'm gonna make 4 little indentations. And I mean, it's a liquid, it's a stew, so it's not like these indentations are really going to hold firm, but I just use the back of the spoon kind of to push away. And the only reason I do that really is so that the egg doesn't just run everywhere when I crack it in there. Kind of keeps it in place. Okay, I'm going to crack my egg into my bowl. I guess if I were really anal about this, I'd have 4 little bowls with 4 cracked eggs in it, but I'm just going to do these 1 at a time and try to go quick. So I've made one indentation. I'm going to pour the egg right in there. And then I like to make sure that it's good and covered. So I take the spoon and I just ladle a little bit of that simmering tomato sauce on the around the edge of that egg. Make another indentation. In goes another egg. Okay. Just repeating this four times. You'll see the picture when I'm done. You'll get what I was doing if you can't visualize it. And then one more egg. Oops. Okay. I probably could have fit a fifth egg in here, no sweat. But like I said, I'm just eating it myself. My wife doesn't really like shakshuka. I'm going to hit those eggs with just a real quick hit of salt and pepper, too. Now, I'm keeping the simmer pretty high because I want those egg whites to set up pretty quickly. So I'm actually going to just pop the lid on for a second. And we're going to let that cook. So I'm going to give it about 3 minutes. We'll take a look. Again, if you don't like runny yolks, you can poach your eggs for just a little bit longer in there. You know, you can touch it with your finger and you can tell pretty easily if that yolk is going to be runny or pretty firm. Now, in the meantime, I'm cranking up the heat on my grill pan, and I've sliced up a couple of pieces of my sourdough. And as I mentioned, I'm going to use that grill pan just to put a little bit of char on that sourdough bread. I'm not going to butter the bread or grease the pan or anything. I'm just going to put it in there dry because I just want a nice, dry, hot char on there. But I also want my pan to be smoking hot before I get the bread on there. I know it's only been a minute, but I can't resist peeking. I'm lifting the lid. It's getting there. Getting there. Okay. I'm not going to peek again. So far, just a recap while those eggs are going, in this shakshuka, we started with the onion, the peppers, the bell pepper and the jalapeno pepper, and some olive oil to get those kind of cooked, charred, a little bit of color on those. We added in the garlic for about a minute, and then we went ahead and put in our fresh tomatoes. And again, remember, canned tomatoes most of the time is probably going to be what you're after, like a 28 ounce can or so of those whole canned tomatoes. We let that cook down for just a little bit. We added in some salt, pepper, the smoked paprika, the cumin, the berberry spice, and the parsley, and we let that cook for a few minutes. Again, if I weren't doing this for the show, I might add a minute or two onto each of these steps just to give it a little extra TLC. But, you know, honestly, it's not necessary because it's going to taste just fantastic as it is. A note on the parsley, too, is I have some set aside that I'm going to use to garnish. This is a stunning looking dish. As it is, but I tell you, the addition of a little bit of parsley at the end on top, the sort of the creamy white of the eggs and the bold reds and oranges of the stew, that green just helps everything pop. And visually, it makes for a fantastic presentation. And hopefully, I'll be able to get a good picture of it and you'll see what I mean. I know some of you have sent me emails asking for more of the live cooking shows like this. And, you know, I think I've done three. I've done risotto. I've done an Asian shrimp peanut butter rice noodle dish. What else did I do? Did I do a mac and cheese? I think I might have done a mac and cheese. I think that's all I've done so far. I enjoy doing them. Sometimes it's hard to find good candidate dishes that I can basically cook beginning to end in a half hour or so. So if you have some ideas of dishes that you would like me to tackle on the live cooking, let me know. I'm happy to give it a shot. All right, I'm going to peek again. Yeah, okay, we're about there. All right, I'm going to remove the lid. Go ahead and touch one of these eggs. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. So those yolks are pretty runny. I'm going to go ahead and actually kill the heat on that. And while that's just coming off the heat, I'm going to go ahead and throw my sourdough onto my grill pan. Again, I'm just putting them on there dry to get a little bit of a char on. They're not even going to be on there that long, so I don't want to totally burn them. I'm going to turn the heat right off. Actually, I won't turn the heat off because I want to turn them over. Beautiful. I'm just using a spatula to kind of push them down and make sure they get contact on the grill pan. I'm going to go ahead and remove. Oops, I didn't get a trivet out. I got to grab a trivet out of my scary drawer of trivets and other things, which most of the time I can't even get shut again when I pull something out. I'm going to remove my shakshuka to a trivet so it stops cooking over the heat. Starting to cool down a little bit. Yum. And then my bread, I think, is about done too. Oh. Love the smell of slightly charred bread. So good, so good. Let's hope I don't set off the fire alarm because I don't cook with the fan running because of the recording. Okay. So I'm going to set this up and take a picture of it in a minute, but I really can't wait. I'm just going to grab a spoon and take a taste of this shakshuka. So I've got 4 eggs here. They look amazing. The whites are set. I can tell the yolks are still runny just from the touch. This is going to be fantastic. Let me grab a clean spoon. See what I'm working with here. It's nice and hot. Oh my gosh. Whew. It's a little bit spicier than I was expecting. See, I didn't practice what I preached. I went all in and put all the spicy stuff in there. It's good. There's no way my wife would eat that though. That would melt her face off. But man, it's delicious. You could even finish this with a squirt of lemon juice. It's pretty acidic as it is, but that lemon juice might just brighten it up a little bit too. But there's something about the creaminess of the egg, the acidity and the earthiness of the onion and the garlic and the tomato. It works so well together. And when you pop them on a piece of crusty bread, toasted especially, it's like, whoo, boy, I can't think of many better things to eat. So we have made shakshuka today. Feel free to take this base recipe over at the show notes, which I've mentioned at the top of the show, and I'll mention at the end. Make it, adapt it, and have a lot of fun with it. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. I'll catch you next time on the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking. All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that Let's Cook live cooking episode where I made shakshuka today. Again, if you want the recipe, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/143 to get to the show notes, which will have that recipe there as well. Also, as a reminder, if you ever want to get in touch with me, please send an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast or track me down on Twitter @TKCPodcast or hop over and join our Facebook group over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. Rest assured, I have more Let's Cook live cooking episodes in the works. But if you have ideas for dishes that you would like me to make live on a Let's Cook episode, please let me know. I'm happy to give it a shot. All right, everybody, one more time, thank you so much for listening today. And that's going to do it for another episode. I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. And until next time, happy cooking.